You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back to the Chris and Joe Show, presented to you by SB Nation and Big Blue View. I'm Joe DeLeon, joined by Chris Flum, bringing you our mailbag edition of the Chris and Joe Show, here to provide you with answers to your NFL draft-related questions. As you may know, early on in the week, we transitioned to focusing solely on the NFL draft to fill you in and give you as much information on prospects, teams around the Giants, all the things that you need to know about, so when the first pick is in on April 23rd, you know exactly what you need to, and when the Giants are up, you know who they can potentially take. So today we have five questions that we are going to answer. Before we get to them, I do want to allude to the fact that we're always willing to take questions. This week we had five really, really good ones. Some questions we did not take because some were a bit reoccurring, so we decided to shy away from answering the same questions over and over again. But if you ever have any questions, you can always shoot us a DM to our personal accounts. You can send it to me at Joe DeLeon or Chris at Raptor MKII. I had one person send me their question that way, and I was very pleasantly surprised, and I was glad that somebody heeded our advice for once and sent them directly to us. But you can also send it into our email account, bigblueview@gmail.com. So our first question is one that I'm sure a lot of people are asking right now, and it's very important for us to answer this question. This question is from Andrew Sherrock, and his question is, any chance that the draft still gets postponed? Well, from what we've seen, Chris, there's not really much of a chance of that happening. The NFL and the offices at the NFL have, and also Roger Goodell, have made it very clear that they are not going to postpone things. They're going to have to adjust and prepare and be ready to do things differently.
Yeah, the NFL really isn't going to want to do anything that interferes with their calendar and interferes with really their income, because the draft has become a huge television event. They have tons of ad space sold, and they're going to do everything they can to avoid impacting that. You know, we've seen some ideas pitched that, you know, maybe spread it out to make it easier on teams with personnel working remotely, and that might come to pass, but I don't think it's likely that the NFL actually postpones the draft so people can basically all group in one area so they can have prospects there and team representatives there and fans there, and basically have the draft as we have come to know it. I don't see them postponing it so that could happen. But what I do see is them really having teams work remotely, because really everything that goes on in the draft can be done remotely. If late night shows are still going on with webcams and Zoom and that sort of thing, and everybody basically piecing it together from their own separate homes, the NFL can do the same thing with the draft.
Yeah, my best guess, and from what I've read and seen from various major sources, is that they're saying it's going to be some type of a studio show, how they're going to go about it and how they're going to do it. My best guess is they probably would do it in the Culver City studio that they have for NFL Network, and they'd probably keep it very small and tight-knit, probably just on NFL Network, because they likely would not want two production teams in one small studio. But I don't think there will be any issues with the broadcast. I think teams might have a bit of a difficult time if they can't get into their war rooms and do all that stuff. But if you think about it, and I think one of the best phrases that I have ever heard in terms of how things work with professional football and the NFL, and I heard it from former special teams coordinator Gary Zauner, who said, at a camp I was at, he said that, You have to be able to improvise and adapt. So when things don't work out well, you have to be able to react to those things and find the next best solution. So all these teams, while some are a bit disgruntled that it's not going to go the way that they want it to, they still will be able to. They should be able to improvise, adapt, and be able to react to what's going on. The other thing that we've seen, though, which I think is a bit of an interesting option that Adam Schefter put out there into the void, that there's a possibility, and it would be an interesting option to spread out the draft over 7 days. So instead of doing the 3 days, you do a round a day. It breaks things up. It gives teams a little bit more time because they're a bit more spread out. It allows everyone to get situated, and also it's extra entertainment because right now we have nothing else to watch, and we're all looking forward to the NFL draft because that's the only form of entertainment that is live, sports-related, and coming up.
Yeah, and I have to say that would also make life a lot easier for us because it would give us more time to, you know, react, digest, produce content for everybody listening and reading. So I would be entirely in favor of that. And it would also make life a lot easier for the rest of the media ecosystem who might not be used to working remotely.
Yeah, not everyone is 100% used to it. So like you said, it might help in everyone's favor to spread things out, give people a little bit more time to be situated. So our next question that we have from Biff Larkin, he is asking about the centers in this year's draft class. He says there are 6 centers in this draft class who could start for the Giants and should be a big upgrade. What do you think? So we pulled to our big board collaborative list, and we were only able to come up with 5 guys that we really think are going to be starters in this league and have high upside and can contribute. And the bottom one at the very end of the list is Nick Harris, who's a bit of a question mark because of some of the issues he showed at the Senior Bowl. But the list that we had was Cesar Ruiz, Lloyd Cushenberry III, Matt Hennessy, Tyler Biadasz, and then, like I said, Nick Harris. All the guys that we've been really pushing as options for the center position.
Yeah, for the Giants specifically, I would probably look most closely at Ruiz, Cushenberry, and Biadasz, just because Jason Garrett has always gone back to power man gap schemes on the offensive line. That's what he initially installed when he became the Cowboys offensive coordinator. And ever since he kind of gave up the offensive coordinator job, the team has still consistently gravitated back to a man gap scheme, even when they were having great success with a zone blocking scheme. Once the offensive coordinator changed, they pretty much just went right back to man gap. So that's what I am more or less expecting to see from them next year. And I would look at the bigger, more powerful centers like Ruiz, Cushenberry, and Biadasz. And I would absolutely love to see the Giants draft any one of them somewhere in the first 3 rounds.
Yeah, all of them are great options for fixing the Giants' center issues. And I think that day 2 range is really perfect for getting a guy that can step in and start. And when we put together this collaborative list, we found it kind of funny that we were putting it together and it was so center heavy at the top that we had 5 guys and then it was guards. And that very rarely will happen. There's years where you have Quentin Nelson and Brandon Scherff who are top 10 players and they're drafted to play guard for your team. Well, in this case, it's very center heavy. You have to take advantage of the fact that there are all those options. Taking at least one of them will be very crucial for improving the offensive line for the Giants. And I honestly think that there's plenty of opportunities for them to do so on that day 2, maybe very early on day 3 and round 4, depending on if someone slides. Our next question is from Edwin Gomers, who has sent in a ton of questions to us over the past month or so. His question is a very interesting one. If you recall, recently, the Dallas Cowboys signed former pass rusher who's been out of the league for multiple years, Aldon Smith. Now, he had some off-the-field issues. Now he's back. So his question is, with the Cowboys signing Aldon Smith, should the Giants, under the new CBA rules, those rules that allow for more flexible testing for marijuana use and also no more suspensions, but rather fines for it, take a look at a guy like Martavis Bryant if he's in football shape and gets reinstated. They have a big need at wide receiver. Bryant was electric and healthy and could be a low-cost, low-risk option. So I'm going to say, Chris, I think this is a very interesting idea, and I think that the fact that the CBA has changed the landscape for marijuana-related suspensions, that it opens things up for someone like Martavis Bryant or Josh Gordon to come and play for the Giants. And like he said, low cost, low risk, because it's not going to cost them probably a ton. It'll probably be a prove it type deal. It'll probably be a 1 year deal. And if it works out, he'll be a huge contributor. And Joe Judge is kind of familiar with Josh Gordon because he was there when Gordon was with the Patriots.
Yeah, that would be a really interesting move for the Giants, and one I would not be opposed to. I think the question is whether or not John Mara would be opposed to it, because even though guys might not be getting suspended anymore, he pretty much a few years ago laid down the law and said no red flags when it comes to the draft. And the Giants have typically, ever since then, gone for guys who are high character players. They want guys who are going to be leaders in the locker room. And while I'm not going to say that marijuana use has anything to do with your character, especially not in my eyes, even though I don't partake, I don't care if anyone else does either. But John Mara might. And that, I think, is where the hangup would be. Personally, I would say, yes, bring Martavis Bryant in for a look as soon as we are able to. Bring Josh Gordon in for a look. Also, I would bring Will Hill back in for a look, because the Giants also have that need at free safety, and we know Will Hill can play that. So with the CBA change, I would like it if that opened up opportunities for guys.
It really should open up some more opportunities, because the red flags for teams that were trying to be cautious was because they didn't want to have a guy on their roster that was going to end up being suspended for 4 to 6 games or even a full season. So now that those suspensions are gone, it's really just a matter of if Dave Gettleman wants to remain old school in his thinking and not really mess around with guys that are going to be racking up fines for dumb stuff like that, like marijuana usage. It's really based on what Gettleman decides, but I think it is a very interesting option to explore, because the Giants aren't in desperate need of receivers, but someone like that would very much improve the receiver group and add a little bit of extra boost to that position group. We've got two more questions, but before we get to them, we're going to take a very short commercial break.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Our next question from Parent I9, another guy who keeps sending us tons of great questions. His question is, who is the most underrated offensive tackle to pick in round 2? So we'll give you a couple guys here. I think one who, more specifically, if he slides out of the first round, that could be a viable option in round two early on at that fourth pick is Josh Jones from Houston. Now, there's not really a great chance of that happening because teams are always going to be higher on offensive tackles and left tackles in particular. But if he does slide that far, I think someone like Josh Jones is a great option.
As of right now, it hasn't dropped on the site yet, but you just did our scouting report on Josh Jones. And he is a very intriguing prospect. He's, at least from what I've seen, it doesn't look like he has the consistency yet, but he definitely has the tools to start. For my money, if we're talking underrated guys, I keep coming back to Matt Peart. Jim Nagy, the director of the Senior Bowl, he has compared Peart on multiple occasions to DeBrickashaw Ferguson. Personally, for me, I see quite a bit of Will Beatty in him. But either way, just a really good-sized, athletic tackle prospect. Yeah, he has played both left and right tackle. He really just needs to build up some play strength. And I think he does definitely have starting upside. I think either one of those guys, if Jones happens to fall out of the first, or maybe the Giants could kind of take a pick out of left field and get Peart, or if they happen to trade back and acquire a second round pick, that could be ideal.
Yeah, there are a couple other interesting options too. I think maybe Austin Jackson from USC could be in play there as well. There's not as many talented guys in the second round, but like the question asks, there are some underrated players. I think Peart definitely fits that threshold in that mold of underrated. He's coming from a smaller Division I FBS program that's not really notable for producing great talent, and they've been very much underperforming over the last few years, but Peart has been a bright spot for them, and I think that he could be a really good option if hypothetically the Giants don't go tackle and decide to go with someone like Isaiah Simmons or other defensive players, depending on who's on the board. So if they don't take that guy, they can potentially get somebody early on in round two. Our last question is from Rob Leonard. His question is, there's a lot of speculation that Darius Slayton could become the Giants wide receiver one. Do you guys see this happening? I honestly would not be surprised if Darius Slayton continued to grow and improve and became the number one wide receiver on the roster. That's depending on if the Giants, who they draft, if they draft any receivers. But I think that Slayton has a lot of upside, and we're not really at that full ceiling of what he can really hit yet. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be a dominant force for the Giants over the next decade, but he has a lot of potential. He looked really good in spots. When he was healthy and on the field, he was a go-to option for Daniel Jones. So seeing what he was able to do as being a deep threat for the Giants offense, I think Slayton could work out very well, especially under the new offense that's going to be implemented with Jason Garrett.
Yeah, I'm not going to hang a number one wide receiver on him. I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way, because I like Slayton. I think he has a ton of upside. He's really just scratching the surface of what he could potentially be. But he does also have issues he needs to work on. He needs to get more consistent at the catch point. He needs to get a lot better at creating separation. I think in terms of Sterling Shepard will be the Giants' best receiver next year, assuming he is able to stay healthy. And, you know, with concussions and all of that, that is absolutely a question mark. Fingers crossed, hopefully that is behind him and he will be able to stay healthy, because brain injuries are scary. But I do believe Shepard will continue to be the Giants' best, most consistent receiver. I personally see Slayton as being a very high wide receiver three, a really good one. That is not a slight, because Mario Manningham made a ton of plays as a very good wide receiver three. Miles Austin was huge for the Cowboys offense as a very good wide receiver three. And I absolutely see Slayton growing into that role for the Giants. I'm not going to say he's going to become a true wide receiver one like Julio Jones or Amari Cooper or one of those guys who commands double teams and can beat them consistently.
Yeah, I think you put it best there in acknowledging that he's not really going to hit that or not that he won't hit that, but there's not as much of a likelihood that he hits that true wide receiver one mold of being an elite starter that's always going to be the best receiver on a team, or he's going to be the best receiver on this team. But you still can get a ton of production out of Darius Slayton if you're using him as your third receiver, or if he steps up ahead of Golden Tate and is your second receiver, depending on where you put him. It's not so much about where he is on the depth chart. It's how he's placed on the field, how the Giants offense uses him, how Daniel Jones likes to use him. He has a lot of potential. We're going to have to see what actually ends up happening with him, but he's a guy that we've talked up very positively after a very strong rookie year. That's all we have for today's show. Thank you for tuning in, folks. Be sure to rate and subscribe wherever you're listening to us, and also follow us on social media. You can follow us at Big Blue View. You can also follow me at Joe DeLeon, and you can follow Chris at Raptor MKII. We'll be coming back next week with more NFL draft content. Be sure to stay tuned for more draft talk.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Support for this podcast came from SAS. Data is everything. And now everything is data, which means more to process, more to analyze. And now more than ever, speed to answers matters. So how do you produce those answers as fast as the world produces data? With SAS Viya, the quickest way from a billion points of data to a point of view. It's a more productive data and AI platform that helps you get more done. Learn more today at sas.com/VIYA.